Imagine you hand a blueprint to a contractor, right? But instead of getting to work, the hammers start talking to the saws.
Which is a terrifying thought.
Right. And then the saws start like spawning these tiny autonomous robotic screwdrivers, and suddenly they're all just redesigning the plumbing on the fly.
Yeah, you aren't building a house anymore at that point.
Exactly. You are trying to contain a highly opinionated autonomous hardware store.
And, you know, that is the exact panic gripping the technology sector right now.
Yeah.
The tools are making autonomous decisions, and people who originally designed the system are realizing they've kind of completely lost deterministic control.
Welcome to the deep dive. So for this one, we are looking at an exclusive invitation-only gathering that took place under the Chatham House rule in Paris on May 4th, 2026.
Right.
And we've got our hands on the resulting AI Vision Forum Paris 2026 report. And because it was under the Chatham House rule, participants could speak freely without their names being attached to quotes.
Which is huge. That means we are getting the unvarnished reality from a room full of, you know, top-tier researchers, regulators, and founders.
Yeah, no PR spin here. And the foundational premise of that room was that we're living through what they called a double exponential.
Right, so you have Moore's Law, which is the steady increase in raw computing power colliding with the compounding nature of AI
Just
capabilities.
stacking on top of itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even the most conservative forecasters in that room are revising their timelines for the structural societal change from decades down to literally months.
So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack this structural shift. We are looking at the definitive end of AI as software and the dawn of what the report calls the agentic economy.
Which is a massive paradigm shift for all of us.
It really is. We're going to explore how we adapt our jobs, our schools, and our foundational digital infrastructure so that human values remain central and we don't, as the keynote speaker, literally had the room chanting, "Get eaten by AI."
Yeah, that's a pretty intense visual. But to understand how to adapt to that, we first have to understand the fundamental redesign of the technology's architecture.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the stack has changed, right?
Completely. For the last 20 years, the digital world you interact with was built on a static, human-directed software architecture called the NMP stack. Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP.
Right, the classic setup.
You click a button, the software executes a highly predictable, pre-written script, and, you know, returns a result. But the Paris report officially declares the LMP stack dead. It has been replaced by the SLAW stack.
SLAW, that's CLAW, compute, LLMs, agents, workflow.
And the transition from LMP to CLAW is a shift from passive software to active delegation.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, we're moving away from the idea of a single massive AI brain trying to do everything at once. The new architecture is what they call a fleet of models. At the center, you have a strong agentic backbone acting as an orchestrator. And that orchestrator's only job is to break down your request and manage dozens of smaller, highly specialized submodels to execute the pieces.
I love how one panelist put it in the report. They said, "We don't need to be providing a recipe for Carbonara and COBOL code in the same way."
Exactly, because distributing the capability completely changes the economics. You know, you don't need a trillion parameter model to just search a database.
Right, that's overkill.
It's massive overkill. You just need a tiny, fast model that only knows database architecture, managed by a smart orchestrator. But this multi-agent setup, it completely changes the role of the human operator.
Yeah, if I'm a software engineer in this new paradigm, this sounds terrifying. You're no longer the excavator digging the hole. You're the agent herder managing a fleet of robotic shovels.
That's a great way to put it.
Because if you aren't writing the code from scratch, but instead evaluating the output of subagents, your entire value is tied to your judgment, right? Not your technical syntax.
And that shatters the traditional apprenticeship model. The report points out that junior developers now have to absorb a decade's worth of system engineering judgment in their very first year.
Wow, a decade in a year.
Yeah, they have to understand multi-tenancy, reliability, and security from day one because their core job is specification and evaluation. They are managing the machines, not typing the syntax.
But this CLAW stack creates a pretty massive tension regarding who actually controls the underlying technology, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
The report mentions this 12 to 18 month capability gap between the frontier closed models, the ones built by massive tech conglomerates, and the open weight models available to the public.
Which forces a very, very hard conversation about what the word open actually means in this era. Releasing an open weight model, meaning anyone can download the mathematical patterns that the AI learned is, you know, celebrated as a victory for the open source community.
Right. It sounds like a win.
But it's a completely hollow victory if that model only functions efficiently on the absolute newest, most expensive silicon that only massive corporations can afford.
Ah, I see. So the Paris Forum stressed that we can't just fight for open models. We have to defend the seven pillars of open.
Yes.
And those are science, data, standards, source, weights, platform, and hardware. All seven have to be defended simultaneously.
Because if you look closely at how those pillars interact, you see the trap. The strategic move for the global community isn't just waiting for an open model to match the intelligence of a closed one.
Right, it's bigger than that.
It is about building an open compute substrate. We need the compilers and the operator libraries, the foundational translation layers, so that when a powerful open model does arrive, you can run it on older heterogeneous chips.
Like in a university lab in Mumbai or a startup in Nairobi.
Exactly. Because if the hardware pillar is missing, it doesn't matter if the weights are open. You are forced to use the massive, heavily subsidized data centers owned by the closed labs.
And when you do that, you are just handing over your private proprietary context as free training data for their next generation of models.
Right. And that structural reality is exactly why corporate deployments of AI are currently hitting a brick wall.
Which brings us to one of the most staggering statistics in the entire report. I mean, this blew my mind.
Yeah, the failure rate.
The cognitive scientist giving the keynote revealed that 95% of AI workplace pilots fail. 95%.
It's wild. And the failure isn't because the models lack intelligence. They fail because the CL stack is bolted onto legacy human workflows without any thought given to how human beings actually think, learn, or solve problems together.
And the panel labeled this missing discipline cognitive design.
Yes. When you ignore cognitive design, you create what the report calls a cognitive black hole.
So what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, it happens when an AI absorbs massive amounts of information from an organization's employees, but never feeds any structural insight back to the collective group.
Okay, the report gave a really good contrasting scenario for this.
Right, the investment bank versus the high school.
Yeah. So first, an investment bank rolls out a generic, frictionless chatbot for its financial analysts. If you are an analyst there, you ask the bot questions privately.
And when it makes a mistake on a financial model, you correct it privately.
Exactly. The local instance of that bot might get slightly more attuned to your prompts, but your corrections never propagate to the core model or to your colleagues.
Right. So 6 months later, the bank has spent an absolute fortune on enterprise licenses, but the corporate organism itself hasn't learned a single thing.
Which perfectly lines up with the report's ultimate one-line litmus test for AI deployments. Quote, 6 months in, does the organization know more or just the individual users?
It's a brutal metric, but it's accurate. Now, contrast the bank's failure with a purpose-built geometry tool used in a high school classroom.
Right. The cognitive design here is totally different.
Completely. This tool is explicitly designed not to give direct answers. It adapts its difficulty, it provides contextual hints, and crucially, it logs patterns of human confusion.
So if 8 out of 30 students struggle with the exact same theorem,
the tool doesn't just push them through it. It sends a dashboard alert to the teacher the next morning, flagging the specific cognitive bottleneck.
So the teacher can actually intervene before the exam. It's the same underlying LLM technology, but the design is entirely different.
But wait, I have to push back on this a little bit. Isn't the entire marketing pitch of the agentic economy to remove friction, to make our jobs and our learning like infinitely easier and faster?
Well, we constantly conflate frictionless with better. Generic chatbots default to removing friction, but human learning, biologically speaking, requires productive struggle.
Productive struggle.
Yeah. The neuroscience shows that if a school just hands out generic chatbots, the absolute strongest students will use them as powerful tutors to race further ahead.
But the others?
The median student will quietly disengage, let the bot do the heavy lifting, and literally learn nothing.
Wow, so you're creating a massive bifurcation in human capability? Exactly.
Mm.
The panel was emphatic on this point. They stated, training and learning cannot be easy. It can be fun, but not easy.
So friction is actually a feature, not a bug to be optimized away.
Right. When you remove friction entirely, you trigger the calculator effect.
where human skills atrophy in direct proportion to how completely a tool replaces them. And the report notes this isn't a future theoretical problem, it is hitting the job market today.
Yeah, the junior talent pipeline is already in crisis.
They noted that in some European markets, the top-tier AI graduates are commanding salaries of 150,000 euros right out of the gate, while the median computer science graduate literally cannot find an entry-level programming role.
Because the median graduate was taught to memorize syntax, which is the exact thing that the CL stack can generate in milliseconds.
Ah, I see.
The top graduate learned system, architecture, specification, and evaluation. If our educational scaffolding isn't explicitly redesigned to force that median student through the productive struggle of system-level thinking,
the bottom of the talent distribution just falls out completely. Okay, so we can theoretically force human beings to embrace friction to learn. But how do we scaffold the AI's behavior?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. If these autonomous agents are out in the wild, negotiating contracts, crossing borders, spawning sub-agents, how do we establish any level of trust in a system we barely control?
This is the core regulatory nightmare of the agentic economy. They call it the inspector regress problem.
Inspector regress. Okay, walk us through that.
If you have an autonomous agent making a critical decision, you might assign a secondary supervisor agent to inspect its work. But who supervises the inspector?
And who supervises the supervisor supervisor?
Exactly.
It's like hiring an auditor to watch a bank teller, but then realizing the auditor might be corrupt, so you hire a second auditor to watch the first. Eventually, the cost of the surveillance is higher than the money in the vault.
And to make matters worse, the verifiability gap is widening rapidly. Compute power is getting cheaper every day, meaning it costs fractions of a cent for an agent to make a complex decision. But verifying how an AI made that decision, on what ship, using what training data, and under what ethical policy, is becoming exponentially more expensive and technically difficult.
Now, a lot of politicians right now are heavily promoting this idea of sovereign AI, right? Mm. Building models entirely within their own borders to guarantee safety and transparency. But just keeping it objective here, based on this verifiability gap, does that domestic label actually solve the trust issue?
Well, the researchers in Paris took a highly critical stance on that exact political talking point. The direct quote from the report is, "Sovereign AI without cryptographic verification is just branding."
Wow, just branding.
Yeah, because trust in an autonomous system has to be mathematically engineered. It can't just be declared by a government or a corporation.
Give us an example of how that works.
Consider a scenario where a bank's AI agent denies a customer a mortgage. 6 months later, federal regulators audit that specific denial. Under the current paradigm, the bank just hands over digital logs that the bank itself generated.
So it's entirely an honor system.
Yeah.
And text logs can be easily altered or hallucinated after the fact to cover up a biased decision.
Which is why the panel argued for a mandated deterministic control plane. The autonomous agent must emit cryptographically signed traces at every single step of its decision-making process to a tamper-evident ledger.
Okay, so think of a cryptographic trace like a digital wax seal on an envelope.
Perfect analogy. The agent can't just say, "I approve this mortgage based on X financial data." It has to seal that decision with a mathematical equation.
And if the bank tries to alter the log retroactively to hide bias, the math instantly breaks and the tampering is obvious.
Exactly. So the regulator can replay and mathematically verify the exact state of the agent at the moment of the decision without having to trust the bank's word at all.
That makes total sense. So the fundamental structural rule the panel established is that the verifier must be completely independent of both the operator and the model vendor.
Self-attestation is dead in the agentic economy.
But tracing and verifying millions of sub-agents in real time requires a massive, robust digital infrastructure.
It does.
And the report points out that the very foundation of that infrastructure, the open source community, is actively collapsing under the weight of AI itself.
It is a systemic crisis, and it's largely invisible to the public. The report describes a contribution avalanche.
An avalanche?
Yeah. In just a six-month window, AI-assisted contributions. These are code submissions known as pull requests to core open source projects spiked by 110%.
But the maintainer headcount, you know, the actual human beings volunteering their time to review this code for security flaws, that has remained completely flat.
Flat budgets and flat headcount facing an exponential wave of AI-generated code. One open source foundation steward told the room that the global community was held together with dental floss and gum.
Dental floss and gum.
And is now critically past its limit. Because human maintainers cannot tell if a massive code submission is from a brilliant human developer or a hallucinating autonomous agent.
Trust is eroding, and the human scaffolding is burning out. And we can't solve this just by paying maintainers more, right?
No, because AI has introduced a new foundational strategic resource compute, which is generally expressed as tokens.
Right.
Compute now sits right alongside code as essential infrastructure. The report insists the industry must adopt three co-equal pillars of resourcing for open source: cache, in-kind compute, and human capacity.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because this forces a crucial distinction that the panel spent hours debating. The vast difference between free token and open token.
Yeah, they are not the same thing at all.
I love how the report frames this. Free tokens are nothing more than a marketing funnel.
Exactly.
A massive tech company gives a developer free access to their API to build a tool, but that locks the developer into that specific vendor's ecosystem.
The report warns, no meal is free. If later you use free token, you will pay in another way.
So then what is open token?
Open token is an entirely different economic concept. It means treating AI compute power like a digital public good, similar to a public utility or a municipal electric grid.
Okay, so it needs to be affordable, transparently governed, and crucially, the environmental costs of that compute need to be made visible to the user.
Right. But the statistics on this are just sobering. According to the UN's Digital Public Goods Alliance, only 3 out of 241 analyzed AI systems currently qualify as digital public goods.
3 out of 241. That means the foundational utility of the next century is almost entirely privately gated.
It is. And if we want students, researchers, and developers in the global south to be able to experiment, build, and regulate the agentic economy without being priced out by Silicon Valley, open token pools are absolutely essential.
So these would be neutrally governed compute reserves, maybe managed by international public bodies or university consortia?
Yes, because if compute isn't treated as a public utility, the global south becomes nothing more than a consumer market for closed models, completely locked out of the architectural design of the future.
Wow. Okay, so we are officially leaving the era of static software and entering the CLBOS stack.
Yep, the LAMP stack is gone.
But to survive this transition to an agentic economy, this report makes it clear we have to execute on three fronts.
Right.
First, we have to intentionally design cognitive friction back into our enterprise and educational systems so we don't hollow out our ability to think critically.
That's step one.
Second, we must engineer cryptographic trust into our institutions, because autonomous agents cannot be managed on an honor system.
Absolutely.
And third, we have to treat compute as a public utility to prevent the open source infrastructure from collapsing.
Yeah, the overarching theme of the Paris Forum is that human AI synergy does not naturally evolve.
It doesn't just happen on its own.
No, left to its own devices, the market will optimize for frictionless, closed, and unverifiable systems.
Mm.
Synergy is a social and technical contract that we have to explicitly design, fund, and enforce.
That's powerful. I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, though, regarding that idea of a frictionless society. We talked extensively about the necessity of cognitive friction in the classroom and the workplace, but the report included a very sharp warning specifically focused on adolescent mental health.
Yeah, this part was fascinating.
It noted that using AI bots as social substitutes for 14 to 18-year-olds steals their critical window to practice human rejection, conflict resolution, and negotiation.
Because those uncomfortable interactions are the fundamental biological building blocks of adult social development.
So project that forward for a second. If we are moving toward a frictionless agentic economy where an AI handles all our difficult tasks, negotiating our contracts, managing our customer service disputes, perfectly anticipating our needs, how will that atrophy our adult social skills?
That's a scary thought.
If you never have to negotiate a refund with a frustrated human being or struggle to find a compromise with a difficult colleague again, what happens to our societal ability to compromise at all?
I mean, if we build machines to handle all the friction of the external world, we might completely forget how to deal with the friction of simply living with each other.
Exactly. We might end up with that runaway hardware store building us a flawless, perfectly optimized house without us ever having to lift a finger. But if we never sweat over the blueprints together and we never argue over the plumbing, do we still know how to live in it?
That is the real question we have to answer.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Paris 2026 report. Keep questioning the systems operating around you, demand to see the cryptographic scaffolding, and we will catch you next time.